darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And this is not the man, but I'm honored to sit in for the inimitable Abraham Hamilton III. This is Bishop B.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again tonight. And thank you all, as always, for all of your support for American Family Radio and the American Family Association network of organizations that are supported by us and helped by us, and that we work together in order to try to work together to help save this great country of ours. So thank you all, because we couldn't do it without your prayers and without your support. Look, folks, we've got some heavy topics to discuss tonight, given some of the things that are happening in our country right now, and frankly happening around the world right now. But I've got a little bit lighter topic to address here first, and it is some great news. Yours truly has just become a grandfather for the second time. My grandson, Jalen Bruce Simmons, was born on January the 10th. And in fact, I am not in my home studio because I'm, of course, with my daughter and her husband, and we are waiting for the beautiful little bundle to be brought home. And now, to add icing to the cake, get this. Tomorrow is my birthday, and tomorrow is the day he likely will be coming in. So what a birthday gift. There won't be ever a better birthday, I don't think, than having my grandson arrive home on my birthday. So folks, listen, I am elated. I have to tell you all that in my younger days, in my youth, I'd meet people and they would talk about their grandchildren and they were doing this with their grandchildren going. And, you know, it never really hit me. I just figured, well, you know, it's just a part of life. But I had a friend, some of you may know Tim Throckmorton. Tim Throckmorton's former pastor and out in Ohio and is now working for the Family Research Council as a kind of director of their ministry outreach and working with pastors around the country. And he's a dear friend of mine. And he used to tell me, he would say to me, said something about his grandchildren, and he would say, "You have any?" I said, "No, I don't have any grandchildren." And he would say, "Well, just get ready to lose your mind." he said, you don't get it yet, but just get ready to lose your mind. I would look at him and say, "Okay, Tim, all right, fine." But folks, I'll tell you, I want to say, Tim, you were absolutely right. I have pretty much lost my mind, more metaphorically speaking. It is one of the great joys of life, folks. And I am enjoying it. I've got a granddaughter. She will turn 4 in a couple months. And as a matter of fact, because my studio is not far from where she plays, and from time to time, she will break away from supervision and just walk right into the studio. So there she is. But look, so folks, I am as always, listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and God is so very, very good to us. You know, look, it may not be all that we'd like it to be in life, but praise God for his goodness and kindness and mercy toward us. You know, David said, "I don't know what I'd do if it weren't for the Lord on my side." You know, he is, in fact, sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. And so I am grateful, first and foremost, to the Lord God Almighty for allowing me to live long enough to see at least 2 grandchildren born. And just grateful for his goodness all around. So that's something uplifting and joyful and happy, and the baby's fine. My daughter's fine. Everything is wonderful. I just talked to my son-in-law not too long ago, and he's back and forth to the hospital and making sure that, you know, everything that she needs is set at home. And my wife and I are basically taking care of our granddaughter while they're off taking care of the new son. But, you know, I am indeed a happy warrior. There's no question about that. I do not allow the things that are happening in this world to get me down and to make me feel despairing or just depressed or discouraged or for that matter, even filled with bitterness and anger and frustration and hatred. I'll just never let that happen. I mean, that's not God anyway. And we know what the outcome is. I mean, we can be joyful warriors because we know what the outcome of this is. But I will say this, or having grandchildren will certainly put some starch in you because you know that you are fighting to try to make sure that the country that they grow up in is one where they can experience freedom and opportunity and hope and the ability to worship God as they see fit and to pursue their God-given gifts and talents and abilities as they see fit and not have someone denigrate them and say, well, you believe in that stupid faith in God stuff and you believe in the Bible and you believe in certain moral rules, you know, that you're antiquated, you're a dinosaur, you're prehistoric, that's stupid. And we don't want you working for our company if you think that way. Oh, you're pro-life? What kind of nutcase are you? You believe that marriage is only a union between one man and one woman? We left that stupid thinking long ago. We know better than that now. I mean, I don't want my grandchildren to live in a country like that. I want them to live in a country that is rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values and principles, where family is affirmed, where faith is affirmed, where freedom is affirmed, and where their Judeo-Christian morals and values are affirmed, and they're not persecuted, prosecuted, fired from their jobs, told that they can't do certain things or be certain things because, not because of the color of their skin, but because of the way they think. Because I've said many times, folks, you know, with all the talk that the left does about racism, they suffer from ROS, racial obsession syndrome. It is a mental illness. I've declared it so. I may not be a psychiatrist, but I play one on the radio. this is a mental illness that I can identify. I can point it out to you because it's so glaringly obvious. You don't need to have a PhD or a medical degree to see it. I don't want my grandchildren to have to grow up in a country that is dominated by that kind of thinking, dominated by DEI. They grew up and they accomplished things and people wondered, did they really accomplish anything or were the standards lowered for them because of the color of their skin? I don't want my grandchildren to grow up in a country like that. And I'm going to fight until I breathe my last breath to make sure that America is, in fact, a meritocracy, a Judeo-Christian nation, a nation whose God is the Lord. And just like when we stand before God, we're not standing before God as a collective. We're standing before God as individuals. And we won't be able to say, now, Lord, wait a minute. Lord, give a brother a break. You know, I mean, after all, do you know all I had to put? No. That won't work. When we stand before God, we're going to stand before God as individuals and give an account for the deeds done in the body. And God's well done is not going to be based upon the color of one's skin or one's gender. God's well done is going to be based on whether you were a good and faithful servant. That's the way America ought to operate. That's the way America ought to run, and nothing else. So that when you have a medical degree, or as I do, a law degree, as Abraham Hamilton III does a law degree, nobody has to wonder. You think he really had to study? You think he might have? Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, with all that, you know, that DEI stuff, affirmative action, who knows? You know, you just never know. Let's find somebody else because folks, that's one of the things I've always, even before they called it DEI, remember they called it affirmative action. I've always resented it, always hated it. And again, not, please forgive me for this moment of some seemingly self-aggrandizement, because I don't mean it to be such. But I just want to give to expose the lie of the left. Because when I got ready to go to law school, you all have heard me tell this story. They told me, my professors from whom I got A's told me, well, yeah, I wouldn't go to Harvard Law School. I wouldn't try because, you know, black people don't do well in the LSATs because they're culturally biased toward white people. And I thought to myself, I don't even understand that. And that doesn't even make sense to me. And my ancestors go back 200 years. I think I understand the culture. And that just made me, that made me mad, because I just said, well, you know what? Then I thank you for the heads up. And I began to study the LSAT, how it works, you know, how it's structured. I started taking practice LSAT exams and all of that. I knew I was capable of doing well on the LSAT. I would not buy into this nonsense. I don't want my grandchildren to grow up in a world in which that's what they're told. Well, you know, you can't be, you know, black people can't. Or grow up in a world, for that matter, in which a guy's told, well, you know, you're a white guy. You know, white guys are privileged, and you know, you need to diminish your whiteness. I mean, what? It just, oh, folks, again, I've got two grandchildren, and I am loaded for. Now, look, that brings me, though, to what's going on right now. And I want to say this to you, folks, in all sincerity. We are witnessing in our country right now an attempted revolution. They want to talk about January 6th and insurrection. Give me a break. A few hundred people going into the Capitol, all of a sudden that's an insurrection and attempt to overthrow the government. I mean, that's crazy. But what we are witnessing here, we are witnessing an attempted revolution in our country. That's what Fry up in Minneapolis, and that's what Waltz in Minnesota, and that's what all of these leftists, these Democrats, or as I affectionately refer to them, Democrats, that's what they're up to. Because look, they keep throwing out this language. You hear it again and again. They're breaking the law, these ICE agents. They're breaking the law. What they're doing is unconstitutional. But you never hear specifics as to exactly what they're doing that is unconstitutional. Now, folks, I've looked at it. The federal government, Title 8 of the United States Code, Sections 1227, 1229, 1231, Section 1325, and others, don't simply allow for the deportation of people who are here illegally, or as their statute refers to it, without inspection for proper entry. It mandates that those people be deported. It requires that those people be deported. Now, if you're going to say to me that ICE is behaving unlawfully and unconstitutionally by trying to arrest and deport those who are here unlawfully, then what you're really saying is, you don't care what the law says. It's unlawful because you say it is. I mean, you never hear them quote a statute. You never hear them say, well, wait a minute. Section 8 requires this and ICE agents are doing that. Do you? You never hear them say the Constitution requires this and ICE agents are doing that. You don't hear that about the president. You don't hear that about Christine Ohm. You don't hear that about Pete Hegseth. You don't hear that about any of them. But they throw these accusations out. They're behaving unconstitutionally, because they are trying to rewrite what the Constitution actually means. We are witnessing an attempted revolution in our country. I'm going to respond to that and how we deal with that and give you some more on it in a few minutes. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by, folks. There is much, much more to come. We'll be right back.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
A big part of the Christian life is listening to God. We listen to God by reading and meditating on His Word. We listen by His Spirit because, yes, God speaks to all of His children every day. Sometimes what you think is a passing thought through your mind may be the Holy Spirit speaking to you, giving you guidance, insight, or wisdom about a matter. Now, by no means am I saying that every passing thought in your mind is the Holy Spirit. Not at all. But often, what you might think is a passing thought is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Write down thoughts, ideas, or insights that just come to your mind that you think maybe that's God speaking to you. The more you're looking for God to speak to you, the more He will speak to you. Being deliberate about listening for the voice of God is very important. And remember, you can always hear the voice of God through His Word. Spend more time reading the Word of God, and the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life will get louder and louder and louder.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Now, I've said, this is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. I've said that if what they are saying is, in spite of what the law says, we say that an ICE agent has no right to arrest, detain, and deport illegal aliens, that what they're really saying is, we are the law, right? There's no other way you can parse that. We are the law. And imagine this. I just said that Title VIII, and I cited you the sections that don't simply allow for deportation. They mandate. That means they require deportation of illegal aliens. But if you say that an ICE agent then, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement agent, has no right to then apprehend, detain, and deport these illegal aliens, that's the equivalent of saying it is against the seal to commit murder. It's against the law to commit murder, but it is against the law for a police officer to go out and arrest a person and detain them for purposes of trial and ultimately either a conviction or acquittal, which means the law is meaningless. Without the enforcement element, having laws is a meaningless exercise. So at some point, they ought to answer the question, okay, well, since we know what the law mandates, we know what the law requires of Immigration Customs Enforcement, in what way are they breaking the law? They're arresting illegal aliens. They're saying, oh, they're also arresting American citizens. Bring me one. Bring me one. They're arresting people who have a right to be here. Oh, you mean like the Maryland father, Abrego Garcia, who is a gang member, a human trafficker, an illegal alien like him? You know, in fact, folks, I said, when I ran for president, I was the first one, although the press didn't give me any credit for it, of course, because they hated it anyway. But I said, Americans just need to brace ourselves because we're going to have to engage in mass deportation in order to deal with the millions that the Biden administration has brought into our country. I said that before I ever heard President Trump say it. And I'm not saying he didn't have the same thought, you know, before I said it. But I was the first one to say it publicly, and I pay attention what, you know, political figures are saying publicly. I was the first one to say it publicly, and here we are. And we've got these people on the left who have decided that they're going to obstruct that process no matter what. Now, let me tell you in the sense in which this is a revolution. First of all, under a constitutional republic, the Constitution and the law says what it says. You don't get to, in spite of what the Supreme Court has done, you don't get to impose your own meaning on it and deny the obvious words of a statute or words of a clause of the Constitution and just make up what you want. But see, that's what their version of a democracy is. Their version of a democracy means whatever we say, whatever we agree, something means. Whatever we agree is the reality, that is what it is, And we will not only impose that upon the text of the Constitution, upon the text of any statutes or laws, we will impose that on the people as well. That's their version of a constitution. That's their version of a democracy, I should say. And folks, that's a revolution. It was John Adams who famously said, "We are an empire of laws and not of men." And what he meant was, the law is the law, and it is not subject to the whims of human beings. But the Democrats and the left are saying exactly the opposite. They're saying, no, what is actually the law is whatever whim we are operating under at that moment. That's what they're saying. And right now, the whim we are operating under is, we want all of these illegal aliens in because we see them as a pathway to ultimate final power. I mean, who rules Minneapolis? Who rules Minnesota? And how do they do it? Well, we know that they're doing it, I think, primarily through two vessels. One is they're indoctrinating every child they can into a leftist, communist, socialist, Marxist worldview. And number two, they're bringing in every foreigner they can that they can buy into supporting their agenda for their community, their state, their our country. I mean, those are the two things that they're doing. Indoctrination and importation. You could summarize it just that way. Indoctrination and importation. I think I've told you all about this book called Brown is the New White by a guy named Stephen Phillips. Stephen Phillips is apparently one of the heirs. I think he married into the Wachovia family. They're a billionaire family. He wrote this book, and in the book, he argued that the way to fundamentally transform America is to bring enough people in, first of all, to mobilize the non-European ancestral people. They want to make it ethnic and racial. Mobilize those people because they are more susceptible to the leftist worldview because they can buy them into it. Folks, let me just, I say we are witnessing a revolution. It is a revolution by the party of slavery, because what you have in Minneapolis and what you have in cities all across this country, I'm going to say it because it needs to be said, it needs to be understood, what you have is a new slave system. The slave system is not about physical incarceration or physical control. It is about psychological control, but it is based upon the same thing. You buy people to control them and to use them for your own purposes. So it's packaged differently, and it has a different patina. But folks, it is exactly the same thing substantively. That's why in Minneapolis they don't care how much money those Somalis were stealing, because they know that's part of the bargain. You're our slaves. You keep us in power, and we allow you to benefit from the plantation we put you on, the political plantation we allow you to live on. And you can have as much as you want. You can steal money. You can become, you know, you can buy Porsches. You can buy mansions. You can send money to Islamic terrorists back in Somalia. You can do all of that as long as you behave as a good slave. We don't care what else you do. And being a good slave means you keep us in power. Now, folks, that is the same thing as antebellum slavery in a different package, and the Democrat Party is still doing it. That's how they've got these inner cities locked down. They're buying people with welfare payments, with food stamps, and now we're finding out with a whole bunch of fraud that allows people to stick their hands in the cookie jar and grab as much as they can get their hands on, and we'll look the other way. because that's part of our demonic bargain, to keep our slaves happy. And then when election time comes, you load all the slaves into buses, and you get all the slaves to the polls, and you tell them who to vote for and how to vote, and you got a captive audience, and they vote unlike almost any other demographic group, overwhelmingly one way, because you bought them all. And the few who haven't been bought don't do it and won't do it. But you try to marginalize them and call them, they're the sellouts. They're the real sellouts. They're the people who have betrayed their race and all this nonsense. Or betrayed their gender. If it's a woman who votes conservative, votes her own mind. I know it paints an awfully ugly picture, but it's a real one. And it's evil. And we're not going to let this revolution succeed. And look at the other analogy. By the way, I'm going to start taking calls in the next segment. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to get your thoughts on what you think is going on in this country, because I think it really is just that deep. I really think it's just that deep. When you start telling federal agents who are citizens of the United States, they cannot be in your city, but you start telling illegal aliens from all over the world, you want them in your city. Well, now, what kind of sense does that make? Other than you've got something in mind far beyond so-called compassion for people. It's really about power for one's tribe. And in this case, the tribe is not racial. The tribe ultimately is ideological. It's Marxist. That's the tribe. And they'll take all comers, and they're looking for people who they think are more likely, more easily, that is, to be bought. Now, you know, this shooting that took place in which this woman lost her life. Folks, I have not seen this kind of outrage on the part of these politicians over the death of any child killed by an illegal alien, any woman raped and murdered by an illegal alien, any family killed in an automobile accident because an illegal alien was driving drunk or driving a vehicle, a tractor trailer that he was not qualified to drive because he couldn't speak English. I have not heard any consternation, any outrage, any sadness, any sorrow expressed at any American whose life has been senselessly taken by someone who shouldn't be here in the first place and was here taking advantage of everything this nation had to offer and exploiting us, using us as American citizens. No sorrow, sadness, remorse for the American citizens who've lost their lives in those situations. But here's a woman who's obstructing ICE carrying out their lawful duty, tries to run over an ICE agent with her SUV. And because his life was in danger, that is my opinion about this. Of course, we'll wait for the trial to happen, if there is one. I believe that was a lawful shoot. But now, you know, this is the end of the world. This is the most hard. I mean, it's just like all the police officers who lose their lives, all the police officers who are injured for life, they no sympathy for them. One police officer gets into a conflagration and one ne'er-do-well ends up getting killed. And it's the end of the world. It's, oh my goodness, you know, the police are all racist. It's the same deal. These people don't care about people. This group doesn't care about people. They care about power. And the only thing they make a big deal of is something that they think is going to make them more powerful when the dust settles. That's all. And an American citizens and the suffering of the American people at the hands of Tren de Aragua and MS-13 and these other gangs that have come into this country illegally with the door thrown wide open by Joe Biden, the things that they do to Americans and the suffering of Americans at their hands means absolutely nothing to them. But, you know, two illegal aliens shot in Portland and they were up in arms. Oh, this is horrible. Members of Tren de Aragua, we find out. Trying to attack ICE agents. But this is the end of the world. The world is falling in. Folks, yeah, it's about much, much more than that. This, they see this as their strategy toward revolution. I mean, to say to ICE agents, get the blank out of Minneapolis, I mean, who do you think you are? And doesn't that sound a lot like the segregationists of the past saying to the National Guard, this school is not going to be open to these people? Except in this case, you're saying to an actual lawfully installed, constitutionally qualified federal officer to get out of your city. I mean, what is this, the Wild Wild West? Be out of town by sundown. I mean, what? But, you know, they're drawing a very clear line. They're saying those of us who are trying to uphold the Constitution, those of us who are trying to uphold the law, those of us who are trying to protect American sovereignty, those of us who are defending our brave law enforcement officers, our military, those of us who are doing this, we are the bad people who must be stopped. So if it takes an assassination of a Charlie Kirk, if it takes an attempted assassination of a Donald Trump, and again, notice, you didn't hear any remorse about that. I mean, some people were forced to say, well, this is not a good thing. We don't want to, you know, but there was very little of that. And you heard a lot of, well, Charlie Kirk brought it on himself, and initially even, it was a conservative. They're blaming the right. Yeah, folks, we are in, I said this many times before, the election of Donald Trump has not ended the danger for our country's future. We'll be back in a moment, but in the meantime, 888-589-8840 is the number. The lines are open. I want to take your calls.
Was the beloved son who left behind his favored position with his father to take the form of a servant and save his people from death? Any guesses? There are two right answers, but one is greater than the other. I'm David Wolin, inviting you to join me on the next Haven Today in a series called Jesus in the Life of Joseph.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
America is about to celebrate her 250th birthday. In the beginning of our country, almost all American children were raised with a Christian worldview. That has drastically changed over the last 250 years. What's your opinion on what we can do to restore it? Your thoughts and your support will help us fight for our kids, and we'll give you the DVD Educated for Liberty with Stephen McDowell as our thanks. Visit afa.net/educate today. afa.net/educate.
Leftism and Islamism. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Minnesota again became a national flashpoint after it was exposed that Somali Muslim immigrants have defrauded taxpayers of an estimated $9 billion through fake businesses. This was enabled by leftist politicians in the city and state who may be benefiting from the theft. The lesson here is that leftists and Islamists partner to undermine our nation financially and spiritually. Christians should oppose this assault, following the biblical command to be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Hear our most recent program on this topic at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend as we discuss whether hell is temporal or eternal.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
You know, you've heard me say, and you've heard others on this network say this many, many times, we are really ultimately not in a political battle. We are in a spiritual battle. Because you see, if this were simply a political battle over facts and truth, when you bring the facts to bear, you bring the truth to bear, you use logic, people would just change their minds. They'd say, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. Oh, okay. All right. I got you. All right. There were you. Then you're right. I agree with you. Because I have to tell you, folks, I've had opinions about things or thought I understood something, and somebody comes along and says, well, were you aware of this? And if I was, I'll say, oh, no, I wasn't. And if that's true, then I say, ah, okay, well, yeah, that does change the way I see this, because that's a factor, or a fact, if you will, that I didn't know about. But these folks are not subject to being moved by facts or truth, because they are in great spiritual delusion. You cannot reason with them. The only thing that you can do with these folks is you have to pray that God would change their hearts, because when the heart gets it, the head will get it. But when the heart is hard, the head is impenetrable. 888-589-8840 is the number. What do you all think about the stuff that is going on right now? And particularly, you know, you would think in the era of Trump, things would have settled down. But in fact, they seem really to be heating up. And I have to tell you, folks, we need to be praying hard about the upcoming congressional elections, I should say, because the media is going to go hard and heavy with propaganda to try to paint for the country a picture of Trump as some kind of tyrant, the rest of us as his sycophants and his, you know, we're cult-like followers, and the country's in danger of being lost. Our democracy is in danger. And, you know, a lot of people aren't paying attention, could really kind of be drawn into the delusion themselves. We got to pray that that does not happen, that people will see clearly. That's why, again, certainly we got to be politically active. We got to be involved in the cultural life of our country. But we've got to be on our knees before God as well, and standing on God's word and believing for God's supernatural intervention in these situations, because you know, the devil is certainly busy in these people. Again, 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines, but let's come right to it. Let's go to John in Indiana. John, welcome.
Good evening, Bishop. Thank you for your service to the artillery and for you and Abraham being willing to go through law school and all that, learning about what lawfare is directed against us now at the Overton window and all that stuff. But I thank you for taking my call. I'm concerned that Ilhan Omar was blaming the ICE agent for moving into the path of a moving vehicle. And I don't remember the left blaming the victim when the fellow tried to escape from the mob in Charlottesville, drove over and killed someone, I believe accidentally, but they made a martyr out of the person when they had the riots in the first Trump administration. And yet this time they're trying to say that ICE was provoking an unnecessary encounter. And I think it's just amazing how soon they switched, just like with when Venezuela fell, or when Maduro was captured. They've been jumping on Trump 10 years for not getting rid of him. Then when they get rid of him, they don't like the way he did it.
Well, John, thank you for the call. And you just made my point. Facts, truth, simply don't matter to them, because they're in this great delusion. And see, they really believe that the only thing that can happen to save America is for them to take absolute power. I believe they believe that. Now, they'll do it in a way that won't seem like that's what they're doing, but they have absolute power in California.
They have absolute power in Massachusetts. They have absolute power in Maine. They have absolute power. Well, maybe not quite in Maine. They're not quite there yet. But in Illinois, in Vermont, in Hawaii, I mean, there are places where they basically are in total control. That's what they want for America. And nothing, no facts, no truth will get in the way of that agenda. So thank you, John. Let's go to Jackie in, where are you in Louisiana, Jackie?
Yes, sir. I am in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
All right. Well, great to have you on the program.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I was listening, and I shared earlier, I'm in total agreement. It is a spiritual battle, and sometimes the spiritual battle comes into the natural, like you were saying, our law enforcement does not have the backing that they're supposed to have, government benefits are available to people. You work all your life and pay taxes, and then you don't make enough to survive on, but you could spend 30 years in the penitentiary, never pay taxes, and come out and draw $1,000 a month in SSI, or you're illegal and you're complaining because you only get $400 a month food stamps. When you got people that's on disability and truly disabled, they get $23.
Yeah. Jackie, thank you for the call. I don't know whether you saw the statistics at that hearing. 81% of the Somalis in Minneapolis, 81% are on welfare. And by the way, of those who have been there for more than 10 years, 78%. So that tells you that these folks are not here to add productivity, to contribute to our society. They're basically here to milk it. Now, they can say what they want to say about, you're smearing a whole group. I'm sure there are decent Somalis who reject all of that. I'm sure of that. But when you have that many people on welfare, that you can't just chalk that up to, you have a few bad individuals. You've got a whole, what I call cultural pathology, where the norm in a group becomes abnormal. The abnormal becomes the norm. And look, what that tells me is we made a big mistake bringing them here. And we need to figure out a way to get them all out. And that's not a racist comment. That's just a fact. We need to figure out a way to get them all out because they're not here for the right reasons. So go back to Somalia or somewhere. But again, you say that and, you're a racist and you're this, that, you're xenophobic. No, I'm an America First guy. And I believe that it is the biblical and responsible and the Christian thing to do, to look out for my own country first. And I took that oath in the Marine Corps against all enemies, foreign and domestic, look out for my own country first. And that means keeping people out who I think are a threat and a danger to our country and kicking people out who are already here but are a threat or danger to my country. So sue me, because that's, to me, that is the only way to deal with this. And then you send a message to the rest of the world that no need in going to America, because if you're not you're not going there to contribute, you're not going there to help, and they figure that out, they're going to kick you out if you can get in. Thank you for the call, Jackie. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I think a lot of our problems comes from the people who did two things. The people who used to spit on the soldiers who were coming home from Vietnam, and the people who promised to create a godless heaven on earth by keeping money away from NASA.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for the call. I'll certainly agree with the first part. I'm not sure I understand the second, but the first part I agree with. But again, that was the beginning of the revolution. That was the beginning of saying America is illegitimate. Therefore, our military people are illegitimate. Our government is illegitimate. Our Constitution is illegitimate. Our founding fathers are illegitimate. And our being here is illegitimate. And the only way we can correct all the injustice that America represents is to turn things over to them, to the revolutionaries, to the Marxists, to the socialists. You all remember that Sean Penn and Danny Glover used to go down to visit Hugo Chavez in Venezuela all the time and talk about how great he was and how wonderful things were for Venezuela. Now I'm thinking, well, I'll tell you what, those are not people I'd want to look to for counsel, because Hugo Chavez unleashed a destructive evil in Venezuela that has completely destroyed the economy of that country. But that's what they want for America, you see, because they've got this, again, this delusional, dystopian thinking that, allowed to run its course, it'll destroy anything in its path. Let's go to Frank in Mississippi. Frank, welcome.
Hey, brother. You got to blame the Republicans, man. You know, they ain't did nothing. I listened to Janet Ellison the morning. She said they only got like 10 good Republicans in the Senate that you can count on. Where were they when Joe Biden was doing all this? Where was it when Border Czar was lying under oath? I mean, why they can't find out how these people, who's paying these people out there doing all this stuff? And get to the head of the stinking snake.
Yeah. Well, Frank, again, thank you for the call, my friend. Look, Frank, you are not off the mark. I've said many times, folks, there are some Republicans I really do admire and really do like and trust. But the party itself, I'll tell you what, man, I wouldn't give two nickels for it. I really wouldn't. I mean, its platform is more in agreement with me, which is why I identify myself as a Republican. But in terms of those who are willing to really fight for the principles that the platform enunciates, there just aren't very many of those. And if I start naming them, I'm going to leave somebody out. And look, we know that nobody's perfect. So I'm not saying that, you know, every Republican has to be, you know, Jesus as a registered Republican. I'm not saying that, but there's got to be courage and conviction and adherence to the principles of the party and a willingness to fight for those, and an understanding that compromise never gets you anywhere with a party that will take all that you are willing to give it and then demand more. And by the way, I think this is part of the problem. The compromise is because there's very little there in the way of conviction. That's why they compromise, many of them. But again, you all can think of some of those that we do admire, that we believe we can rely upon, but they're few and far between. There's no question about that. Wow. With little time left, let me see. Let me get to Joe in Ohio. This is one of those important states. Joe, welcome.
Yes, thank you for all you do. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, one of the previous callers hit the nail right on the head. They're just too many rhinos and too many career politicians in there. You know, you have Doge, Elon Musk, and Doge come in there in 6 months. They find more fraud than the oversight committees in Congress have found in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. They found it in 6 months. So most of these career politicians don't want to find it. You have a 23-year-old kid. And, you know, he's a young man. I'm an old man, so I call him a kid. 23-year-old kid goes to Minnesota and finds more fraud in one day than the elected governor and the elected attorney general found in 7 years. So there's just too many politicians on the dole. But thank you for all you do. God bless you, and God bless American Family Radio.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Well, look, you know, I learned this a long time ago, folks, in my involvement in politics. Most politicians are not leaders. See, a leader sees where we're supposed to be going and tries to persuade people to go that way. Most politicians are bellwethers who figure out which way they think people are already going or want to go, and then they just follow them. Like when same-sex marriage became the law of the land, Many Republican conservatives I would talk to would say, I'm talking about politicians, would say, well, that ship has sailed. We just have to let that go. And I would say, well, if we did that with Roe v. Wade, you know, what would be the point of the pro-life movement? So they were only too quick to just discard the issue. I think it's still an issue, and I think we can still change it back to the way it ought to be. One man, one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony. But hey, I'm not a politician. Well, folks, God bless you. Been great being with you. Love you all. Praying for you. Thank you so much for everything that you do. And praise God for AFR. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, refute. Because we cannot be defeated. Not quit. Because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.